this is a strongly coupling jewelry. So
if one tier is strongly coupled, the other is weakly coupled, especially when the gauge rank of the gauge group n is very large and the tooth coupling is very large in the conformal field theory, then in that case, the conformal field theory is strongly coupled. However, the classical gravity, the corresponding gravity theory becomes weakly coupled, and we can use a classical gravity description with an appropriate boundary conditions. And this is the story for the conformal theory and the corresponding ADS geometry. But in many interesting cases, we also want to turn on the temperature in the conformal field theory. In that case, the conformal symmetry is broken at finite temperature. And also, people are not interested in not only in the state in vacuum in field theory. People are in many interesting systems in condensed matter systems. People are interested in a finite density systems. In that case, we want to turn on a chemical potential in the grand canonical ensemble. And we would like to consider corresponding situations in the gravity side. The turning on the temperature means considering a black hole geometry, and turning on a chemical potential mu corresponds to turning on the corresponding source field in the bulk theory. So we want to turn on the time component of the bulk field. So we want to consider a charged black hole solution for the finite density system of field theory. Therefore, in the original setup, which is an ADS case, we do not have any scale, but we introduced two dimensional parameters, temperature T and chemical potential mu, and the physics depends only on the dimensionless coupling T over mu. So the story was, so this was the general story, and we would like to specialize to five-dimensional theory. In this case, five-dimensional theory, gravitational theory has a special term, which is a transimens term, and it is present as long as the dual field theory has an anomaly. So if the dual field theory has a triangle anomaly for the global symmetry, then correspondingly we have such a transimens term. So this is for the case when the symmetry is a U1 abelian theory, for example, U1 R symmetry. And even though this is a triangle anomaly, of course, it does not mean that the current is not conserved. But if we couple this to an external field, then it is possible that the current is not conserved. And even though we have such a term in the Lagrangian, in the action, the charged black holes are still solutions because the Einstein equation does not change in the presence of this transimens term because this does not depend on the metric. And the Maxwell's equation are still satisfied if we turn only electric field. So it does not change the black hole solution at all, but nevertheless, it introduces many interesting effects. For example, the hydrodynamic properties of the system changes, and this Erdmanger and Banerjee and their collaborators have shown that the current for this symmetry has an additional contribution from the vorticity of the fluid. So they show this in the gravitational setup, and Son and Sorka, they showed that such a term is necessary using the field theoretic argument. Also, Masu and his collaborators have shown that there is a non-vanishing Hall conductivity due to this transimens coupling, and especially they show that this conductivity depends on the spatial momentum modes they consider. So it is an interesting effect on the conductivity, and Safu and Yi show that some fields in the theory has a dispersion relation which depends on the helicity of their state. So they call this chiral shear waves. So all this shows us that there is an interesting effect due to the transimens term in the gravity theory. And however, all these considerations are based on the high derivative expansion, that is, they start with the energy momentum tensor and R charge current and expand the current in terms of the spatial momentum. So they can only see an effect that is perturbative in the spatial momentum. But here I would like to focus on the finite momentum modes in the spatial R3 directions. And we will see that there are interesting effects in this finite momentum. So let me state the problem I'd like to consider. So I'm going to consider a five-dimensional Maxwell theory in the presence of transiting terms, coupling with the gravity. And in the specific models, for example, supersymmetric models, transiting coupling is fixed by supersymmetry. But here, I'll just leave it as a fixed and treat this as a parameter of the theory. And the charged black hole is, as I mentioned, still a good solution, but stability analysis will change due to this this transiting coupling. And I will check if there is any unstable mode for a combination of gauge fields and orthogonal metric components. And if as I change the value of the transiting coupling alpha, and if it is unstable, then I'll find the final geometry after the instability has taken place. So one motivation to work on this the theory in terms of the ADS safety is that ADS safety sometimes captures a universal property of the system. For example, so as long as the system is capable of being described by this gravity dual, then we can sometimes see a universal feature of the system. For example, this shear viscosity and entropy density ratio is always 1 over 4 pi if a field theory can be described by some gravity dual system. So in that spirit, I'm going to follow a bottom-up approach. So I'm going to start with a very simple Lagrangian, which consists of Maxwell field and transiting term, and I'll extract some useful information out of them. So later I'm going to consider some special phase, and I think it will be better for me to explain what kind of fields I'm going to consider later. So the phase I'm going to consider will be inhomogeneous phase in space. That is, for example, like a plane waves, it has position-dependent expectation values. And so translation symmetry and rotation symmetry are both broken, but some combination remains as symmetry. So pictorially, the symmetry looks like this. So this is some vector field configuration, and for each plane there, it points along some definite direction, and the direction rotates as I move on the horizontal axis. And as you can see, the translation symmetry along the horizontal direction is broken, and the rotation around on the disk plane is also broken, but some combination is still a symmetry. So later I'll exclusively deal with only the system in the ADS CFT setup, but I'll just list some examples in field theories which have spatially modulated phase. So one, the first thing is a Cooper pair of two fermions with different Fermi surfaces. In the usual case, the Cooper pair occurs only for one fermion species, and of course they have the same Fermi surface, and two fermions at the opposite momentum state will combine into a pair, and it becomes a Cooper pair. But in some system, we can consider two different kinds of fermions, and they sometimes form a pair, and in that case, because they cannot be of opposite momentum, they have to combine into some definite, some non-zero momentum state, so it becomes an inhomogeneous state. And another example is a chiral density wave in finite density QCD in the large end limit. In this case, people have shown Beriagin, Grigoriev, and Rubakov. They show that the two-point correlation function of the fermions have this form. So the first factor is the center of motion part, and the second one is the relative motion. And they show that this center of motion has some plane wave form, where the P has the magnitude which is the same as the chemical potential. And there is another model called Brazovsky model, where he basically considers the fluctuation spectrum, where in the usual case the fluctuation spectrum has the energy is minimum when k, the momentum k is equal to zero, but he considers the case when the energy will be zero at some finite momentum k, which is greater than zero. So in that case, he showed that there is a phase transition given this kind of fluctuations, and the resulting phase is spatially modulated. So this is the field theory examples of phases that is similar to the one that I'm going to consider later. So later I'm going to consider AdS/CVD setup, but here I first start with flat space as a warm up, because it is very simple, but it captures the main aspects that I'm going to explain later. So we know that the Maxwell theory with Chern-Simons term, so before going to five dimensions, in three dimensions we know that the theory, if we have Maxwell theory and the Chern-Simons terms, then they have this form, and we know that they are massive. To see this, we first write the action in this form language. So F star, so this star is Hausdorff, and this wedge is, and this is Chern-Simons term. And by varying the gauge field A, we obtain the equation of motion, which is this. And using this equation of motion twice, we can write down the Laplacian of F in this way, because F is closed. Df is equal to zero, so Laplacian of F becomes alpha squared F. So if we apply this equation motion twice. And this shows that the gauge field F gets mass, which is the magnitude of alpha, the absolute value of alpha. So in that sense, the gauge field is massive. This is the usual story in three dimensions. In five dimensions, but we have an immediate problem, because in five dimensions there are three Chern-Simons three gauge fields in the Chern-Simons term, and so it will not contribute to the mass spectrum analysis in the vacuum. However, if we turn on an electric field, then one of the dA will be effectively the electric field E. So this term will be quadratic term. So it's just E dA which A, and this will be a quadratic fluctuation. And in that case, this will change the stability analysis. And we'll see that this indeed changes the spectrum drastically. And especially because of this D, the spectrum will depend on the momentum eigenstate of the system. So to analyze the problem, I'll just show the procedure how to solve the problem. So the Lagrangian is given as a sum of the Chern-Simons coupling and the usual Yang-Mills term. In this case, this is Maxwell term. This is Abelian theory. And this is the five-dimensional space, but I split this into R1, 1 space and R3 space. And there is an electric field at 0, 1 on this plane. The background field. Given this background field, I'm going to consider fluctuations from this background. And this small f is the background fluctuation field. And the corresponding equation of motion is given in this way. And you can see there is a mixing between f mu, I, and f ij. So here, mu is the r, 1 indices, and ij are the r3 indices. So this is from the Maxwell term, and this is from Chern-Simons term. This mixing can be undone by if we multiply by epsilon ij count del j operator, and using the Bianchi identity, then this equation will change into this form. Here, fi is a dual of fjk in three dimensions, three transverse directions. And this is a familiar form. So the first part is just the usual Laplacian, and this is some operator multiplied by this fk. And this operator, epsilon ijk del j, has eigenvalues of plus minus k. Here k is the momentum along the r3 direction. If you consider momentum eigenstate, then it has plus minus k eigenvalues. It actually has eigenvalue 0, but this is prohibited by Bianchi identity. So if we consider this kind of this momentum eigenstate, so p is the r11 momentum and k is the r3 momentum. and the dispersion relation that comes from this equation is this. And this P naught squared minus P1 squared is the mass in the R1, 1 sense. And this will be given by this quadratic term in K. And if we plot this this dispersion relation, then it looks like this. So this m squared is R1, 1 mass. And you can see that this mass will be negative in the range when k is between 0 and 4 alpha e. So we have Tachyonic modes when k is between these two momenta. And the Tachyonic modes are helical. As I mentioned, this is an eigenstate of this operator. And for example, if we consider this kind of momentum 0, 0, k, then the corresponding state for positive eigenvalue is, for example, given this. And graphically, this looks like this. So the arrow represents the Fi, and it rotates as I move up. So the up direction is the plus Z direction. So we have some helical state that becomes unstable. And in this case, we consider the constant electric field case, and this was important because if we consider constant magnetic field, for example, in that case, we always have a positive mass contribution, so we do not have this negative mass case, and the mass is always positive, and it's more or less like massive gauge field theory in three dimensions. So we consider flat five-dimensional space. Now we move on to the charged ADS-5 black hole solutions. So we need to consider gravity also. But the five-dimensional gravity theory has Maxwell terms and Chern-Simons term and the curvature scalar and this cosmological constant part. The Lagrangian is this, and we do not fix alpha, and this will be a parameter of the theory. And we are going to consider a charged black hole solution, which is the Risen-Norton black hole with asymptotic ADS-5 geometry. And we are going to consider a definite momentum state in the spatial R3 direction. So the parameters of a state is given by the momentum K and temperature T and Chern-Simons coupling alpha. So there are three parameters for a given state. But considering the full geometry will be a little bit difficult, so I'll first consider the near horizon geometry at the extremal limit when temperature is zero. And the near horizon geometry is ADS2 cross R3. In the ADS2 cross R3 case, we can perform a similar analysis to the flat space case. And basically, the dispersion relation does not change. It remains the same. However, the instability condition changes. So in the flat space case, negative mass means instability, but in the ADS2 space, some amount of negative mass is allowed, and it is still stable. And in that case, the instability is determined by another bound called Bertrand-Lonergan-Friedman bound, which is some negative number. So as long as if the mass is below this Bertrand-Lonergan-Friedman bound, then it becomes unstable. So this is a quadratic equation in K, and if alpha is very large, then the graph goes very deep. So if alpha is large enough, then we always have a stable mode. But the crucial difference between the flat space and the ADS2 space is that in the flat space case, K equals zero mode is included marginally, but here K equals zero mode is excluded, which means that the homogeneous mode here is stable in this case, and this indicates that the final geometry will be likely to be spatially inhomogeneous. Here, by the way, I did not take into account the gravity effect, so I just consider the Maxwell equation just as in the flat space case. However, if we couple, because we consider ADS space and gravity theory, we need to consider gravity. And actually, there is a term in the Maxwell term which cannot be ignored in the spectrum fluctuation analysis. So it has Fij and Fij term. in the lexical-kinetic term, and it has a term that it contains this term. So F mu I is just a gauge field, and it is coupled to the orthogonal metric component because of the presence of the electric field component. So because of this quadratic coupling, we need to consider graviton also. And to study this, we can use standard linearized gravity theory. But in this case, it is much easier to use Kaluza-Klein reduction with momentum k along the spatial arbitrary direction and linearize and then obtain the equations. So the procedure is like this. We use Kaluza-Klein reduction. So the basically ADS2 cross R3 space is reduced to ADS2 space with some amount of momentum k along R3 direction. So first, I'll start with ADS2 plus R3 Lagrangian, and then only consider most that is constant in y1 and y2 direction. And then effectively, it is ADS2 plus R3 R space. And then I'm going to later consider a state with definite momentum along the y3 direction. And this will be Lagrangian for ADS2 space. And from the Lagrangian, we obtain the equation of motion, and the equation of motion is given in this way. Here's Fi is a dual in R3 space of this Fjk field strength, and this H mu I is off-diagonal metric component. This mu and u is the indices for ADS2 space, so I differentiate it once and then take a dual of this, and this will be this I will call Ki. So there are six fields, three of Fi and three of Ki, and it satisfies these equations. Basically, these two parts are Laplacian that come from vector kinetic term, and this is from the Trans-Simons term, and these two terms are from the mixing of the graviton and photon. And this is simple linear differential equations, and we can diagonalize these two equations and obtain the mass spectrum. And it turns out that the mass is given by this relation. So alpha is just the Trans-Simons coupling, and E is just a number, the electric field, which is 2 square root 6 in this case. So for given value of alpha, we can just have some function of k, and we can draw the graph like this. And depending on the value of alpha, we have different graphs. And the Breitner-Friedman bound is still a bound for the instability, which is -3 in this unit. And this red line is the Breitner-Friedman bound. So if alpha is large enough, then some modes are below the Breitner-Friedman bound, and we have instability. But if alpha is small, then all modes are above the Breitner-Friedman bound, and we have only stable modes. Numerically, this critical value of alpha is 0.2896. And above this critical alpha, then we have instability. So we consider, until now, we considered near horizon limit of the Reisner-Norsem geometry at the extremal limit, which is for which temperature is equal to zero. So this begs two questions. The first is that will we still have instability even at non-zero temperature? And another question is that analysis in the near horizon geometry sufficient to find out all the unstable modes, or do we miss some modes by focusing only on the near horizon? And to answer these questions, we need to analyze the full Reisner-Norsem geometry. So to consider the full geometry, we are going to focus on the two fields, Fi and Ki, which is basically the same kind of fields. Fi is the dual of Fjk in three spatial upgrade directions, and this Ki is off-diagonal metric, differentiated and dualized in the first two coordinates. And I'm going to consider the stability of some combination of these two fields. And for the moment, I'll only consider static solutions. So as I change the parameter, for example, Trans-Simons coupling alpha and temperature T, gradually some unstable modes begin to appear. But what I'm going to focus on is the onset of such an instability. And in that case, we have we have only static solutions. So here's the procedure for the numerical analysis. So first I'm going to find out the equation of motion for the gauge field and off-diagonal metric at phi and ki. So there are six fields and they satisfy certain second order differential equations. And then after obtaining the equations, then I'll simplify the equations. And in that case, simplification occurs because diagonalization is possible for the equations. So basically, we have only two equations to consider without mixing. So this simplifies the problem a lot. And I'll start at the horizon and obtain. I'll start at the horizon here of the ADS space of the black hole solution, and then evolve the solution to the ADS 5 boundary. Generally, it is not possible to start right on the horizon because this horizon is a regular singular point of this differential equation. So I'll obtain some series solutions and start slightly outside of the horizon, and then with an appropriate starting conditions, and then evolve the solution to the ADS 5 boundary. And at the boundary, we generically have normalizable modes and non-normalizable modes, and both are present. But at some special values of momentum k in R3 directions, we have only normalizable modes, and non-normalizable modes become vanish. And these are the modes that we are looking for because we do not source the field. So the normalized part should vanish. And after obtaining the field configuration with only normalizable parts, we can read up the corresponding field theory operator expectation value. So here is one example. So this is some field configuration. This U equals 0 is the ADS 5 boundary. And I'll start with some initial condition at near the horizon and evolve the field. And U equals 0 is the ADS 5 boundary. And generally, the phi is the field I'm going to consider, because it looks like this near the ADS 5 boundary. Here, A is the normalizable part, and B is the non-normalizable part, and B is normalizable part. So by varying this momentum k, I'm looking for a solution with the vanishing A. For example, when K is equal to 0, then you can see that this A vanishes with some finite value of B. So this K equals 0 is a good solution, a normalizable solution, at least along the radial direction. If I increase the value of K, then the non-normalized part get in, and we have some finite A, and it increases, and then it decreases, and between 0.4 and 0.45, it hits 0 again, so we have a normalizable solution, and then here we have normalizable solution again near this value. So by changing the value of the momentum, we have several such normalizable solutions. Actually, k equals 0 solution is excluded because even though it is normalizable in the radial direction, it turns out that it is not normalizable in R3 direction. So excluding k equals 0, this is the solution with minimum k. And as I increase k, then there are additional modes appearing, but they have more and more nodes, and they will not participate in the phase transition because this mode is the mode that we first meet if I change, for example, if I lower the temperature. This is the first mode that I'm going to meet. So, and there is a corresponding mode at some large value of k also. Okay, so this is the consideration with some small non-zero temperature. And at zero temperature, we have a similar situation, but it's a different graph. So this is a transaminance coupling, and this is the momentum. So for fixed value of alpha, there are several modes, and I only draw the first two modes. And as you can see, for large alpha, there are unstable modes, but there is a critical value of transaminase coupling below which there is no unstable mode. And even though this one and two curves are different, they seem to meet at this point. So they have the same critical value of alpha. And previously we analyzed extreme of black hole in the near horizon limit, which is at near horizon limit at zero temperature. So we can compare the two situations. So using the Brayton-Friedman bound, we, for example, in this case, we found some unstable range like this. But this unstable range corresponds to this curve. So the lower value of this range corresponds to this point. Actually, this curve makes a bell-shaped curve, and there's a higher k also, and this corresponds to this value. But numerically, it's difficult to draw, so I didn't draw this. So there's this near horizon limit, near horizon analysis captures this curve 2, but it fails to capture the curve 1. So we can ask what is the nature of a curve 1 solution in the near horizon geometry. And it turns out that this curve 1 solution is normalizable in the full ADS-5 geometry, but nevertheless, it is non-normalizable in the near horizon limit. That is, in terms of ADS-2 plus R3 perspective, it grows too fast, so it becomes non-normalizable. Even though in the full geometry, its growth is suppressed and we have normalizable solution. So, yeah, I think I explained this. So the critical temperature is nevertheless the same. And this graph is the boundary, is supposed to be the boundary of unstable modes, but we have not checked that explicitly yet. And to check this, we need to turn, instead of considering static solutions, we need to consider unstable solutions. So generally, a field has time dependence like this, e to the minus I omega t. And if this omega becomes imaginary, then we have unstable modes. So we are looking for some for modes which has imaginary omega or minus omega squared. And I can we can draw some graph by varying k. And as you can see, there this endpoint corresponds to points in the curve in the previous graph. So these two points, for example, corresponds to these two endpoints. If I vary k, then we indeed have unstable modes like this at zero temperature. And if we increase the temperature, then it still has a qualitatively similar form. So the width is basically gets narrows. So this is for some high transaminase coupling and field and dependence. And we can confirm that the static solutions are indeed boundaries of unstable solutions. And this is the graph that it shows the total picture, the holistic picture of the unstable modes. So this is the momentum k, and this is the temperature. And each curve has a definite number of transaminase couplings. So this is alpha. This is some alpha, and this is another smaller value of alpha, and this is smaller value of alpha. So as you can see, if I increase the value of alpha, then the graph gets bigger and bigger, which means that there are more and more unstable modes. And if I lower the transaminase coupling, it becomes the area becomes smaller and smaller, and eventually there is some critical value of alpha below which there is no unstable modes. And it's difficult to draw to see the graph in this picture, but all modes are for all cases, k equals 0 mode is excluded. So k equals 0 lies to, next to this shaded graph. So the homogeneous mode is always stable. And this is the graph for the critical temperature as a function of alpha. So if alpha is large, then there's a, for example, if alpha is large enough, then there is a some temperature above which we do not have any unstable mode. And we can plot this critical temperature Tc as a function of alpha. And you can, as you can see, when temperature and transient coupling are very large, then they are approximately linear. But if it's small, then we have a quadratic dependence. So this part is, the usual rising Norton black hole solution is stable, but in this region, rising Norton black hole becomes unstable, and we expect some a new phase would appear. So we have found that there is an instability depending on the value of transient coupling alpha and temperature. And now we would like to consider the final state after the instability has taken place. So the most we consider are these two, as I mentioned. So there are six fields, and a linear combination of these will have such this form, and this will be an eigenstate of this operator epsilon ij k zero j, and this will have a definite helicity state with respect to the momentum k. So k, it has some constant vector times some base is a real part of this, and this u vector has definite helicity state with respect to k. But finding out the final geometry is difficult, mostly because we need to solve the Einstein equations. So the Einstein equations is metric answers, and it is difficult to make a corresponding metric answers because we have two pure symmetries, and the metric is not very constrained. And to circumvent the problem. So we could not solve the full solutions, but we could find out a limit in which the Einstein equations can be neglected in the stability analysis For example, if I send alpha to infinity, then the action for the Maxwell fields had originally has this form, but so this is the Maxwell term, and this is transcendence term. But if I send alpha to infinity with this kind of rescaling, then the total action can be written in this way. So f prime, and so if we consider finite f prime solution with a very large alpha, then the whole action is very small. So we can see that the gauge field does not back react on the geometry. So the geometry remains the same, whatever value f prime has. And in this limit, we keep the chemical potential mu to be very small in such a way that alpha times mu is kept finite. So f has the same magnitude as mu, so alpha times mu will be finite because this will be f prime. And because mu is very small, basically, we are going to consider, instead of rising and Rosenthal black hole, we are going to consider Schwarzschild black hole solutions. So this is a nice bonus because this limit corresponds to the case when the temperature T over mu and the transient coupling alpha are very large, but they are getting larger and larger at the same rate. So in this phase transition graph, we are looking for this region. So this is precisely the region where there's a chance to see a phase transition. So basically, we decouple gravity from the analysis, and we only need to study Maxwell theory. And the stability analysis suggests that we are going to have such a final state. Here, this is a space R3 direction, and there's a three directions, and this phase will be invariant under the translation along the x1 or x2 directions, and even though the translation along x3 direction is broken, a combined symmetry of the x3 translation and the rotation in the R12 plane will be still a symmetry, and we would like to impose that the final geometry also satisfies this symmetry. So gauge fields have this the time component and radial component, and the x1 component of the gauge field will only depend on the radial direction of radius to space. But the, I mean, A3 directions. But A1 plus I, A2, sorry, yeah, X1 and X2, so A1 plus I, A2 will be depending on the radial direction by a function of AI, but there is, should be an additional base e to the ik x3 because it should satisfy, it should be invariant under this this transformation. So we have such an answer, and we can put this back into the Maxwell equations. Then we obtain this kind of equation of motion for the field AR. So here HR is just the usual vector for the Schwarzschild solution. And all terms are linear in AR except the last term, which is the cubic in AR. So the last term effectively stabilizes AR to some finite value, and we have a non-trivial geometry because of this one. So it seems that this looks like a kind of Landau-Ginzburg model. And indeed, we see that the corresponding field theory has an operator whose expectation value is looks like the one in the field, the mean field theory analysis. So in this graph, we choose the momentum k such that AR is normalizable at the AJS phi boundary. So if I change, I'll change the momentum k and see whether AR becomes normalizable in the AJS phi boundary. And if AR is normalizable, then I can read off the expectation value of the corresponding operator in the boundary theory. And the expectation value of the corresponding operator in the on the boundary theory has this kind of expectation value as I change the temperature. So if I increase the temperature, then the magnitude of the operator J becomes smaller and smaller, and the behavior near the critical temperature looks like this. So this is the same as, this is the one that we would obtain from the mean field analysis because the exponent is 1/2. Actually, there are familiar solutions, but we choose the minimum energy solution because that will give the most probable state in the Grand Canonical Ensemble. And this analysis, let me remind you that this analysis is classical in the gravity side, but in the field theory side, people in the 80s and 90s considered a similar problem, for example, by Brozovsky and Hohenberg and Swift, and they found that some quantum effect changes some qualitative picture of the phase transition. So, for example, in the Brozovsky model, he considered this kind of momentum, this kind of potential in the momentum space. So, in the usual case, we don't have this p minus p naught squared. But the presence of this one changes the story. So in the classical analysis, it is basically the same as the usual case. That is, we have second order phase transition when tau is equal to zero. The only difference is that the condensing model is now not homogeneous, but it has a definite momentum p is equal to p naught. But quantum mechanically, this term introduces an additional dip when near the origin of the field. So when phi is near zero, then we have small dip due to quantum effect, and this changes the order of phase transition. So mainly the reason why we have such a dip is that there are a large number of states at p equal p naught, because p naught, so it changes the quantum loop has a large effect near this origin. So we have this. Instead of a second order phase transition, we have first order phase transition. So we may expect that something similar might happen in this picture, but yeah, I think we need to investigate more to get a clearer picture. So until now, I consider some general Lagrangians, and now I'll focus on to some specific models with definite value of transverse coupling. For example, in the simplest case, might be the n equals 2 minimum supergravity model, which consists of simple transverse. So it consists of the scalar part and the cosmological constant and Lexo kinetic term and the transcendence coupling. And for this to have supersymmetry, alpha is said to be 1 over 2 squared 3, which is 0.2887 approximately. And the critical value of alpha is 0.2896. So this critical value of alpha is slightly above the transcendence coupling for the minimum supergravity. That is, the charged black hole solution in minimum supergravity is very stable. So it is not, we do not see an instability in this case. The next simplest case would be a three-charged black hole then. In the three-charged black hole case, so this can be thought of as a kind of D3 branch rotating in the transverse six directions. And because it is rotating in the transverse six directions, there are three rotating directions. And each rotation gives you a charge. So in this case, we obtain a Lagrangian in the ADS5 space. And in addition to these gauge fields, we have additional matter fields coupling to the gauge fields. And however, this can be ignored if we only consider the linear analysis. And unlike in the previous case, we need to consider three gauge fields instead of one. They're coupled to the off-diagonal metric. So it is more complicated. And in this case, we only consider the mass spectrum in the near horizon limit of ADS2 cross R3 at zero temperature, extreme limit. And basically solve the, instead of 2x2 matrix in the previous case, we solve the 4x4 determinant matrix and bound and try to look for Mosby, which is below the Bredt-Nonnen-Friedman bound. It turns out the Bredt-Nonnen-Friedman bound is not violated. So in this case also, the three charged black hole is near horizon is stable. But let me remind you that this is not so obvious because even though the sphere is supersymmetric, the black hole itself is not supersymmetric, and so the stability is not guaranteed, and we have to check this explicitly. But in these two cases, we do not find the instability, so it will be worthwhile to check other models. So usually in the ADS5 space, the transcendence coupling is related to the triangle anomalies, and the coefficient for the transcendence coupling is determined by, for example, in the gravity side, if I have toric data for the Sasaki-Einstein manifold, then out of this we can determine CIJK completely. Of course, this will not be sufficient to determine the instability because we need to know the kinetic term also. And the gauge coupling, which is the coefficient for the kinetic term, is determined from the geometry also. So basically, we need, in addition to the historic data, we need to know the metric explicitly. But yes, at least in principle, we know the gauge coupling also. And so in specific models, we can obtain Cijk and tau ij, and we can perform a similar stability analysis to find some unstable modes. So it will be interesting to find out some model with unstable modes, or maybe you can find a kind of novel theorem that forbids such an instability. So here are conclusions. So I considered the Maxwell theory with transcendence coupling in flat five-dimensional space, and we show that it becomes unstable if we have a constant electric field. And this instability persists even in the system with gravity. So Maxwell transcendence theory Einstein with Einstein gravity becomes unstable if alpha is greater than some critical value of alpha. And in this case, in this gravitational case, instability occurs only at non-zero value of momentum k. And it indicates that the final geometry will be spatially inhomogeneous, and the corresponding operator in the dual field theory will have position independent bev. That is a vector mode, so the vector mode J will have a bev, and we could not find out the final geometry in a very general case, but we could go to a limit where a transcendence coupling becomes infinite. In each case, we can perform a reliable calculation and show that the phase transition is second order and is of the mean field time. Okay, thank you.
Yes. When you do the instability for the so your third point. Is it, and you get this position dependent
Yes.
Is it possible then to include a magnetic field?
Oh, so in that case, so magnetic field can be included, and in the flat space case we can do it analytically easily, and it turns out that the magnetic field does not tend to lower the mass spectrum, so it adds to the mass, so it does not cause instability. That's why we do not consider the magnetic field. But yes, certainly we can consider magnetic field and electric field together. But one difficulty, it's not a difficulty, but one difference is that in this five dimensional space, introducing electric field and magnetic field breaks up the symmetry, the translation symmetry in all three directions. Rotation symmetry. So that's why we do not initially consider, we initially include this magnetic field. But yeah, I think we can include this term and consider the check the stability also.
But so you're saying it just makes it more stable as opposed to the
yes,
less stable.
It's more stable. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.